Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
These are uncertain times. I know that for us, running a business, running church, running all these things, and we have over 170-something employees, different parts of the church, and it's not just a small one, it's kind of a big deal. And so when they kept changing the plans, you can stay open, you can go to 250 people, you can go to 50 people, you can go to 10 people. And it was like every week our poor staff, we would be making our plans and then, nope, change that plan. Make our plans, nope, change that plan. And it was just constant. And it was a very hard, unsettling feeling. And I feel like the Lord was speaking to my heart and he said, you are not the only one feeling unsettled. There is days that I wake up in this coronavirus and I'm like, I just want to go somewhere. Like, I want to go to the beach and put my feet in the water. And I don't want anyone to tell me I can't. Now, that would be the American in me. And there are days that I'm like, if I could have just went on that vacation I paid for a long time ago, but it's still on wait, waiting for me one day. And you see, you could think of the shoulda, woulda, couldas, the can'ts, and the what you aren't able to do. The other day when Dan was finally just had a moment to himself, he's like, I'd like to go on a hike today. And he loves to go over to the local mountains over here, and he discovers these trails. He's out there for like 3 hours. I worry I'm going to lose him because there's no way I'm going to know where he went. And he was like, I'm just going to go. And so he went and they closed down all the trails. And he was so bummed. He came back home. He was just like, this is crazy. Like, there's no place to escape. There's no place. And yet I heard the voice of God go, but there is. And it's in me. And you've got to remind yourself. So listen, if pastors Dan and Jess don't always remember that God is our place of refuge, then I'm here to remind you today that he is our place of refuge. Because he loves us. He knows we're human, that we're going to go and we have faults and we have frailties. He knows that you're going to screw up. He knows that even as Christians, you're going to sin. But yet God says that he is more than enough. Just come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden. He will give us rest. And as I began searching the scripture, he brought me to Psalms 123. And it says, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy, just as servants keep looking their eyes to their master. As a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy, for we are filled with contempt, and we have more than our fill of scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. I turn on the news. You turn on one channel, they're bashing the president. You turn on another channel, they're not bashing the president. They're bashing everyone else. And it's like, it angers my spirit, man, because there's not a unity in it. There's not the breath of God in it. There's not something that brings restoration in it. And it brings me contempt. It brings me an unsettling. It brings me an untrust of them and what they're saying. And so I sat there and I'm like, Lord, I just can't even turn on the news anymore. It's like, who do we trust here on earth? And God says, no one but me, daughter. But that's where you come to me in your time of need. You come to me and you find your rest and your refuge, because God knows we're going to feel these places of uncertainty. He knows we're going to feel contempt. He knows that we're going to have an unsettling in our spirit, man. One day you may wake up fine and one day you're frustrated. And God knows that you're going to have these moments. So what do we do in these moments? I love this verse because it starts out with the very first point. So in times of uncertainty, what do we need to do? Because it's one thing to hear the word of God. Get me on this. Listen to what the word is saying. But it's another thing to do what his word says. You can listen to as much word as you want, but if you don't do anything with it and you don't apply it to your life, then you're missing out on the full and the freedom of what God has for you in your life. So today, let's find out how we can put this into life, put this into our everyday, how we can do days differently and stronger and better with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus, okay? So, number one, look to Jesus. When we get up in the morning, You need to make a new routine for yourself. Some of you have little ones and they're pulling on you. Some of you don't. Some of you have been up all night and you're like, I don't even know if it's morning yet. I've been up all night with kids. You know, my daughter came in our room like four times last night. And so I was a little distrained. And I said to God, what am I going to do when I wake up in the morning? I've got to get to work. I've got to actually preach. And he said, you'll be fine. Look to me. And I was like, yeah, that's right. You're right. You're my strength. You're my source. See, we have to look to Jesus. And, you know, I think of Peter. I don't even have this in my notes, but I think of Peter when Jesus said, come, step out. And he's looking to him. And he's walking on water. And then he looks down. He gets his eyes off God, and he begins to sink. How many of us have these sinking moments in our everydays where we start out in the morning and we're good and we've read our Bible and we're filled up and then the day just gets on and somebody calls us and makes us irritated and we turn on the news or the kids are doing something? Or how about out there, you homeschool moms, you're like, this is not my job and these teachers are heroes. And so whatever it is that you find yourself in, and you find yourself not really in that spiritual place again, you find yourself like, I'm not there anymore, Pastor Jess. I'm not in the spirit. I'm not looking to Jesus. You're sinking. And God says, but look back up to me. Look to me. And it says in Psalms 123, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in the heavens. We keep looking to our Lord, our God of mercy, just as servants keep their eyes on their masters and slave girls watch for their mistresses for the slightest signal. Listen, when we are in these times of uncertainty, don't make a move until you hear from the voice of God. You know, Pastor Jim taught this message last weekend for us, and it was just, it was exactly how we do our lives, Dan and I. It's exactly, and we've been criticized for it. Why don't you just pull the trigger already? And Dan's like, I haven't heard from God. No, I'm not doing anything until I hear from God. And that is how we've lived our lives. But as you can see, I grew up with a man and a woman of God that encourages us to not make a move until we hear the voice of our Father. And yet, when I'm not looking to Jesus, when I'm not waiting to hear his voice, when I'm not in his presence, and I make these rash decisions for my life and for my children's life and for those around me, then guess what happens? There's times where I find myself sinking. There's times when I feel discouraged. There's times when my heart is weary. There's times and places where I'm not as anchored as I should be in the storm. And yet God knew we were human and we were all going to have these moments. And so this today is for you, to remind you to stop and look back up to Jesus. When you find yourselves in those broken places, when you find yourselves in the unrest and the unsettledness, just remind yourself, go back into your word, go put on worship music, do what it is to get your spirit man back up into faith, because that is going to be our strength, church, in these hard times. Psalms 121, 1 through 2. I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is a mind-boggling thought process for me, because me, little old me, who you would say people know you, but really, I'm just nobody. And I'm here, just a woman saying, I love you, Lord. I'll do whatever it is you've asked me to do. And I will say yes to whatever you ask me to do in my life. And in these moments that the God of heaven and earth would look down and lean down and have a conversation with me, entertain me in my foolish thoughts, and respect me enough and love me enough to take time to twist my thoughts into what his thoughts are and say, this is what the word says, this is who you need to be, this is what I'm asking you to do, so that I get rid of my fleshly thoughts, I get rid of the ideologies of man and the world, and I can get myself back into who he is. Because where does my help come from? From the one who made heaven and earth. Wow. God is on your side. He wants the best for you. He loves you. You are not alone in this world. You have not been abandoned. You have not been reckless. You are more than enough for the King of the universe to look upon you today, to smile and say, come on, daughter, I've got your back. I'm holding your hand in this. Would you just remember to look to me, because I am your source. I am your strength. I am your sustaining power in time of need and contempt and weariness and uncertainty. You see, he's saying, look to him. I love this verse in Isaiah. it kind of explains who he is. Isaiah 40, 26, it says, "Look up to the heavens who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name." Hold on a second. He named each star. Try and wrap our minds around this. Did you know that there are more stars than there are grains of sand on the earth? But yet God knows every single star and knows it by name and commanded it and put it into place. That is the same God that is on your side today. That is the same God that has every answer to every prayer you're praying. That is the same God who wants you to remember who is on your team, who is living on the inside of you if you are saved and born again. You see, this is the God that loves you so much, the one that commanded the stars and knows them by name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. You see, you might feel like you're not enough. You might feel alone today. Some of you are dealing with depression. Some of you are dealing with suicidal thoughts. Some of you are dealing with the ways of rejection. And you're feeling it more because you're not around people and you're feeling this displacement. And I'm here to tell you, you're not displaced. You're not abandoned. But God of heaven sees you and he loves you. And he's with you this morning. He has never left you nor forsaken you. He is wrapping his arms around you. And you have value. You are loved. You are cherished. You are his. And he is yours. So today, look to Jesus and do not allow that spirit of depression, that spirit of suicide to come in. You command that spirit of death to go. And you right now, you declare that Jesus Christ is there loving you and protecting you, and you are going to look to him because he is your strength and your source. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, when my father-in-law passed last week, this verse rolled in my spirit from the time I got the phone call, I already knew, until the time that I saw him on the ground. I literally heard this verse in my spirit, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he said to me, he has finished his race. He has ran his course. He has done what he needs to do. And I said to the Lord, I got mad at God. I said, what about those verses, Lord, that say a long, full life? What about those? He was only 67. He served in your house this morning. Listen, people, you can be mad at God and he can handle it. He can take it. He's tough. And he said, he let me go. He let me go for a minute. And he said, are you done? And I said, fine. And he goes, I'm telling you right now, you are numbering his days by your thought process, by your timelines, and I am God. And you don't know that he didn't live a long, full life because I'm telling you he did. His days were ordained by me, and he did what he needed to do. And now he's with me, and he's mine. And I was like, all right, who am I? Who am I? You are God. And when we don't understand, when we don't get it, but when we can lean and look to our God and allow him to speak to us in hard ways, in hard verses, in hard things, but yet we love him so much, we can hear his voice and allow the correction and allow the understanding. Listen, those were grow-up moments for me. Those were teaching moments for me. The author and the finisher of our faith. You see, my father is now in the victory of what God conquered, and he conquered death. And so he is the finisher of his faith. And these are exciting verses because this time on earth, guys, is very very temporary. You could be here one day and gone the next, but listen, you will never stop looking to Jesus, whether you're on this earth or you're stepping into eternity, because as saved, sold out Christians on fire for our King, it's just closing our eyes and stepping into the one we love. And I'm here to say, look to Jesus today, the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, who the joy that was set before him endured the cross. This scripture's crazy. Wait a second, author and finisher of faith, whose joy was set before him when he endured the cross. Who wants to suffer? Who wants to have good times here on earth? Yeah, everybody does. We all think it's sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and, you know, ukuleles in Hawaii and all those things. But I'm here to tell you, that there is sacrifice required in the kingdom, that there is going to be suffering. And in this, God says that he found joy in it because he knew what was behind it. He knew the power that was going to be released over death because of it. He went to that cross with joy. He went to that cross looking unto the faces of everybody that would be free and open to come to the throne room of God because of his cost, despising the shame. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just think of Jesus just, it is done. You see, look to Jesus. He already paid the price. He already went before us. He already did it all for us. We just have to look to him. Point number two, we have to pray for mercy. Psalms 123, 3 through 4 says, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy, for we had our fill of contempt. Have you had your fill of contempt yet, girls? Are you irritated with this locked-in services? We have had more than our fill of scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. Like I said, you can turn on the news. You can listen to, like, every article. I listen to different things on Facebook, and there people are fighting with each other and speaking evil of each other, and they're just at each other. And it's so unsettling in your spirit, man. And the Lord says, they're not of me. They're not of me. But you need to ask for mercy for those in your land. You need to ask for mercy. You see, the mercy of God is what our country needs, what this world needs. They have turned their back on him. And we know as Christians that people have been playing games with God for far too long. And he has been very gracious. But God is calling us to attention. He is calling us to repentance. He is calling us to take a look, a good look at our lives and stop playing games with him, because he is God of all. He is God or he is not in your life. And God is saying, you need to pray and ask for mercy. Mercy over the land. What does mercy mean? It means, God, be gracious. Take pity on us. God, be kind and show an act of kindness and compassion towards us. Daniel was in desolation. He was in a time of despair over Jerusalem. And in Daniel 9, if you would turn with me there, he begins to pray over Jerusalem. He begins to pray these prayers of intensity. Have you ever just been alone and you begin to pray and your spirit, man, just comes up and there's something that takes over your flesh and it becomes the prayer of God. It becomes the breath of God. It becomes just the words and the meditation of your heart is pleasing to the one who loves you so much. And here was Daniel in verse 9, 3 through 4, and it says, then I set my face towards the Lord. Hold on, didn't we just learn about this? Look to Jesus. That's what he did. And he said to the Lord, to make my request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made a confession. Oh, Lord, great and awesome God. I love how he started this prayer for mercy. He began his prayer with, oh, Lord, great and awesome God. Hold on a second. What are our prayers starting with? You see, who are we approaching when we begin to talk to God? We need to honor him. We need to put him in the place of authority in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. And Daniel submitted himself, and he came under in humility. Oh, Lord, how great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and his mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. How many women do I have out there that are in love with Jesus today? How many women out there have said, I'm going to do things your way and not my way, God? Then God is waiting for your prayers today to pray for mercy for our country, mercy for the leaders of God, mercy for those that do not know him yet and need to come to know the goodness of our God. Then it goes a little further down and it says in Daniel 9:16, it says, oh Lord, according to all of your righteousness. That means we can look at God and be like, why did you do this? And why aren't you doing this? And you haven't done this in my timeline. How come you haven't taken coronavirus away yet, God? I've been praying. And God is saying, oh, you don't know what is happening behind the scenes. You trust me and know that I am God. But Daniel did know who he was. And Daniel said, "Oh Lord, according to all of your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins, for the iniquities of our father in Jerusalem and your people are reproached to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh my God, incline your ear to hear and open your eyes and see our desolations." Doesn't that sound like us right now? God, we're crying out on behalf of the world. Hear us. Know that we're in desolation. And then it says, "And the city which is called to your name, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous," oh, I love this, "because of your righteous deeds." Hold on. This is God. What do you mean God's righteous deeds? We don't present it because he's not righteous and his deeds aren't good? No, that's not what this is saying. What he's saying, Daniel is saying in this scripture right now, is I'm not coming to you, God, for what you can do. I thought he is. Hold on. Let's go on. It says, "but because your great mercies." You see, God, Daniel understood, God can do it in a blink of an eye, in the breath, in a word. God speaks and the world is created. But Daniel said, "I'm coming to you for your mercies." Listen, church, we need to begin to pray like this for our land. God, we ask that you would heal our land and have mercy upon us. Then it says in verse 19, "Oh, Lord, hear and forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name." You are called by the name of God. You have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit has manifested and is living and working and speaking to you. And yet we need to call out and cry out and remember where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one that is not shocked by this coronavirus or by the deaths that we cannot properly bury our loved ones during the season or have baby showers or weddings. All the things that we as humanity love to celebrate and enjoy have been stripped from us. How many birthday parties have I seen online and they're small and they don't get to celebrate? And these are big things that we like to celebrate. But I'm here to tell you today, it is time for us as a church to get on our knees and begin to ask God for mercy on our land and for God to forgive us of our sin and our unrighteousness that they have laid out in the schools, in our society, in the politics. And listen, Christians, some of you have compromised your walks with God so that you can wrap your heart around what the world wants. It's time for you to get right. Get those things out of your heart and put all of Jesus in, because that is the only way that you are going to know his righteousness, know his goodness, see his favor on your lives. Do you still love me? Sorry, I'm pastor. I love you. I'm going to kick your butt all the way into heaven if I have to. And I'm going to tell you like it is, because these are serious times and he's a good God. And I just watched my dad die. And I'm telling you, there was no reason why he just went home to be with the Lord. We are not promised tomorrow. But I'll tell you right now, we are acquired. We are on mission to pray, to be the people of God here on earth until that day comes. So let's do it. And let's do it well for the kingdom, as my father-in-law did. So let's go on. Number three, remember where our help comes from. Sometimes you can think, where is this going to come from? I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. I'm frustrated. I feel like God hasn't answered the prayers that I prayed in the beginning. But I'm here to tell you that is not true. I want you to go with me. Okay, I want you to go with me to Psalms 124. Psalms 124. These are little words in my Bible. So I'm going to read them, but if I mess up, please forgive me. It says, if it had not been the Lord God who was on my side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. And then the swollen waters would have gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us a prey to their teeth. Woo! God has not given us up to the enemy right now, church. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare of the broken we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who heaven and earth. You see, God has not left you alone. He has not abandoned you in this. And remember, remember, remember where your help comes from. It is not your husband. Sorry. It is not your children. It is not your job. It is not anything on earth that man can make or put into play. The only help that you will need is God on your side, in your front, in your back, on your left, on your right, surrounding you with his love. He will give you what you need as you listen to his voice. He will guide you in the right steps. He will open doors that only he can open. He will close doors that do not need to be walked through. And in that, you can be at rest and remind yourself that he is our helper. He is the one who strengthens our spirit man in times of need. I know that God has such a powerful message in this, and these are just simple points. Just remember that your help comes from him. Just remember this. I have a picture of a tree, and I want to tell you a story. A vine that clings to an oak tree, and in doing so, it finds its protection in times of trial and perverse, and it preserves it. It's a violent storm should arise against this tree and this vine. And it's on the side of the tree away from the wind. Then the tree serves to protect the vine from the wind, which would otherwise tear it away and rip it into shreds. If the vine is on the exposed side of the tree, the wind serves to press the vine closer to the tree it already clings to. In the storms of our life, God will at times set himself between us and the fury of the storm and so protect us from it. And other times of our life, he will expose us to the storm so that it rages against us, that it may serve to press us closer to him. As we see Jesus, as long as we are close to him, he's either going to protect us or he's going to draw us closer to him. And you remember that your help comes from the Lord today. As that vine clings to that tree, let us cling to our Father. And he is the vine and we are the branches. We are in him and he is in us. Remember today that he is your lover of your soul, that he is your helpmate, that he is the one who wants to lead you and guide you and sleep with you and bring you rest. He's the one who wants to laugh with you and have joyful days with you. He's the one who will provide for you. He's the one who cherishes you. He's the one who gave you your personality, whether other people understand it or not, he does. And so know that you are loved. You're not abandoned, but you're cherished. Remember, your help comes from him. Number four, last but not least, know that we as the church cannot be moved. I love that The Rock has started this Can't Stop The Rock hashtag, Can't Stop The Rock hashtag, Can't Stop Jesus hashtag, because when the devil thought that he was going to shut us down on Easter, the church arose around the world and people are being added daily to the houses of God. I believe the church is rising up again. I believe that we are in true identity of who we are in Christ, that there are some supernatural things going on, and I know that God is not done with us yet, and we have to remember that we cannot be moved when we are anchored in who he is. Psalms 125, go with me there. Short little psalm, and it says, those who trust in the Lord are like the mountain of Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from time forth and forever. In the Message version, it says that he wraps himself around his people. I was like amazed by this verse, because here's God saying, listen, I know you're feeling contempt. I know you're feeling unsettledness, but remember Psalm 124, I'm your help. And now he's saying in Psalm 125, and you can't be moved because you're in me. You see, he's reminding us, we had to remind ourselves who he is, and now he's reminding us who we are in him. Isn't he good? Those who trust in the Lord are secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. That is the New Living Translation. And I'm going to read verse 3. And the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Hold on. You're telling me that the evil and the wicked will not be able to overtake the righteousness? Yes. That is exactly what I'm saying to you. If you are a daughter of the Most High God, you are serving him with all of your heart, then I'm here to tell you today that the enemy cannot come near your borders, that he does not get to take your land from you. He does not get to take your resource from you. He does not get to take your thought process or your identity from you. You see, because you are anchored and you cannot be moved because Jesus Christ is living on the inside of you. This is a territory that is not for the enemy. And, you know, when I think about my home and I think about the threshold of my home, I decide who walks through that door. I decide if you, my dogs go out and roll in the mud, guess what? They don't get to come inside that door because they are dirty, right? But until I wash them, then they get to come in when they are clean and they are pure. We are clean and pure before God. We are his children. And nobody, no evil and darkness, nothing can come near our territory, our borders. Last night, my daughter had some evil thoughts going on in her head. And the first thing in the middle of the night, I'm waking up like, no, you don't even get to start playing in these games. You don't even get to start doing these thoughts again. Let me remind you who we are. And let me remind you, enemy, who you are. And that greater is he that is living on me than he that is in the world. You do not have place, territory, and I'm telling you, she went right to sleep. Because when we begin to remind ourselves who he is and he's our help, then we remind ourselves, wait, who are we? Wait, I am the child of the Most High God, and I will not be moved. I will not be taken out. You will not come near my borders. You will not touch my children. You cannot touch my church. You will not touch the people of God and the Most High. I'm here to tell you God's on your side. He's got your back, and he's covering you in this. Just hold on, because he's got you. Verse 5, as for such a turn aside to their crooked ways, they turn from their to their ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. God is going to take them out of your life. Maybe some of you have seen this already, that you've surrounded yourself with maybe people that compromise their life and the things of God. And God has started to remove them from your life. You're going, what happened to that relationship? What happened to that friendship? What happened to all of these things that we used to do? And God is saying, that's not good for you. They can't go where I'm asking you to go. They can't be what I'm asking you to be. What I'm saying is, you are the righteousness of Christ. You are the one running after me. And we have something to do on this earth. And so you are going to surround yourself with those that are righteous, that are going to fill you up, that are going to build up your spirit, man. That's why you need to get into a small group today, because you need to be encouraged. You need to be around people that are going to speak the same thing as you and be in unity. Remember, we did the unity messages not long ago. Go back and get them if you need to refresh yourself. God has your back. You will not be moved. There's a story about a traveler in a logging area, and he was watching out of curiosity a lumberjack. This lumberjack was occasionally jabbing his sharp hook into logs and separating one from the others as they were floating by. And he asked him, what are you doing? And the logger said, these all may look alike to you, but I can recognize a few of them are quite different. The ones that I let pass are from the trees that grew in the valley, where they were always protected from the storm. Their grain is rather coarse. And the ones that I have hooked, I have kept apart from the high and top of the mountains. From the time that they were very small, they were beaten by the strong winds. The toughest of these trees gives them a really fine grain, and we save them from the top of the mountains. We save those for the choice work of good things. We are too good to be used as, these are too good to be used as ordinary lumber. How about you? You are too good to be used in not a capacity that God has asked you to reach. God is saying to you, you might have been pushed around by the storms of your life. You might have been tried to take it out, but the enemy has not taken you out. And because of it, your character is smooth. And because of it, your character is strong. And because of it, God has chosen you and set you aside. And he can use you for the choice work. He can use you for the holy work. He has a job for you and an assignment for you here on this earth. And I'm here to say, you are more than enough. And God has equipped you, and you will not be moved, but you will be strengthened with who he is on the inside of you. So girls, today, remember that because of him who lives in you, you cannot be moved. I hope you got something from the Lord today. Let's review really quick. In uncertain times, let's as women in church in the church of God, look to Jesus. Pray for mercy for those people around us. Remember where our help comes from and know that we cannot be moved.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.